Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
I'm glad that when they start singing that song, I can't imagine what it'd be like to be lost and have to sit through that one. Amen, because they's only 7 days of the week, and they didn't miss any. So you had an opportunity to stand. If you knew that you'd been born again, and you know what a miserable thing to be lost and not to know that your name's been written in the Lamb's book. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, I'm just going to read verse number 3 and 4 will be our text this morning, so you pray for us. We're just going to obey God. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Lord, thank you for your word and for the comfort. You was the only one that could touch me that day. But thank God you touched me. That I knew in that moment that I was lost. But thank God you touched me and changed me from an orphan of this world to child of a king. Thank God that you're still touching me. And I pray that you'd touch those among us today. We need your comfort. There are needs, God, among us that only you can, Lord, be the answer to. We humbly pray that you would move in our presence. We're trusting you in all of this. Lift up the precious one who's worthy. But we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as the apostle wrote the second letter of Corinthians, as he wrote back to them in just this simple salutation, the first two verses certainly honoring God, introducing himself, reminding them who was writing, but he begins to exalt God in the third and the fourth verses, and he begins to give credit to God for a simple truth. And I believe it's the truth that this world is vacant of today. Sister Tish works in their school systems, and several in here do, and they're working, at least in the public schools, they're working with a lot of kids that don't have any hope. They think, at least, there's no hope. Many of them think there's no reason to live. We suffered a suicide in our community here just a week or so ago, a freshman at William Blount, and every one of those shocks me still. It bothers me that there's people all around us that they have no means of comfort, and so they find life to be hopeless, helpless, and seemingly our enemy has planted in their hearts a seed, a wicked seed, that would say the only good thing is just to end it. Life ain't worth living. Well, thank God there's a day that changed in my life. Amen. I don't know what you've been through, but I've got my own testimony. But there was a day that God moved in and the dark moved out. Thank God, there's something about being born again, friend, that shines the light of Jesus Christ into places that were once dark. And we're living in a world of darkness today. It's everywhere. It's prevalent on the hearts and the minds of our young people. No doubt there might even be some of us among us right now that are suffering, that are oppressed by the enemy. If you've been born again, you can't be possessed, friend, by one thing, and that's the Holy Ghost. But you can be oppressed. Amen. There's evil in this world, and there's demonic forces all around us, friend. You better wake up and recognize that we can't fight them by ourselves. We need divine help. Listen, if your boat's going to move on this ocean of life, you're going to need the wind from God in your sails. You're going to need something that's bigger than you are, something that's greater than you are. Thank God I'm not exempt from the hopeless things of this world. I'm not exempt from the sorrow of life and the suffering and the pain and the afflictions and the things, friend, that come with being flesh and being nature. But I'll tell you right now, I've also got comfort. I've got one, friend, that knows me and 24 hours a day is right there to speak peace into my soul. I wouldn't trade peace, not for anything in this world. There ain't enough money. There ain't enough things. There ain't enough pain. There ain't nothing in this world worth giving up peace for. Oh, when you've got peace with God, friend, there's a hope that begins to build in your soul. And I say build because, friend, my hope's bigger than it used to be. Every day I live, every day I get closer to that eternity. I'm going to try to preach in a minute, but when I think about the graduation day that's a-coming, my hope just gets bigger. Amen. Thank God for comfort. Amen. Well, this world is not your source of comfort. Unfortunately, there's a great number of people that are looking to the things of this world to provide the comfort they need. They'll go out looking for relationships. They'll look for alcohol or drugs or any form of means that'll ease their conscience or ease their minds and try to encourage them in their minds somehow that there's a reason. But I'll tell you right now, this world may not be my home. And friend, I may have to live through some hard things. I may have to experience the sorrows that come in this world. But I'll tell you right now, I don't sorrow as those without hope. Nope, there is one that is with me. And brother, there will ever be comfort in the day that I'm in need of it. God is the God of all comfort. That's what he said. He said he's the God of all comfort. Now, some of you need some comfort today. I know what it's like to experience the warfare that goes on in one's mind, that spiritual battle between those things that you know as a child of God to be right and then those things that the sin nature, flesh, wants to do. But I'll tell you right now, we've got victory over that if we'll just let God have it. Amen. They ain't a time I ought to fall to this flesh. Amen. Who is man that thou art mindful of him, the psalmist said. I'll tell you, little man ain't got nothing on God. And brother, if we'll just humble ourselves and call on God, he is right there to be the help that you need. Comfort. Comfort. Some of you need comfort today. Now, I'm not your comfort. Amen. At best, I might be able to provide a little comfort or encouragement to your spirit. But friend, I know the one who is all comfort, the God of all comfort. I want to try to share just a simple thought with you today about the God of all comfort. What is comfort? If you look up in the dictionary, you'll find that comfort's one of them words that has both a noun and a verb functionality. Comfort is something you can do as an action. It's a verb. Comfort is something that you can do, but comfort is also something you can be, right? Comfort is something tangible for me, and there's many a way that God comforts his people, but friend, the comfort that God gives is something that I experience, right? In noun form, right? Not only does God comfort me as a verb, he actively works in me to encourage, to strengthen, to aid, to help. But God is also the source of that comfort, being a thing, a particular purpose. Friend, God is the comfort this world needs. Jesus is the answer. Amen. Jesus is still the answer to the comfort that this world needs. Well, we're living in a dark place. Even out here in the middle of nowhere and on 6 Mile Road, there's dark forces at work. Up and down this road, on every ridge and holler around us, the enemy is at work. He's not taking a day off, Brother Paul. He is hard at it, and he's going to do everything he can to take every ounce of hope and peace that we have or the people of God have, the young folks, the people, the kids in our schools, those that are serving them, all of those things, friend. Our enemy wants to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he's going to do that if we let him. That's right. He it's going to do that. But I know the God of all comfort. Some of you know what it's like to be in a place where you had no idea how you was going to get out of it. You didn't know if you was going to make it. You didn't know if tomorrow would be something you'd experience. You had no idea if the pain you were going through was ever going to get any better. You didn't have any idea if you was ever going to make it. Amen. I know some of you have had them thoughts, but may I say to you today that if you're a child of God, there's some comfort for you. I know the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Let me share these simple thoughts with you this morning. It starts with God. I've already read the verse, but I'm going to read it again. Verse number 3. What Paul said was, blessed be God. Amen. The Apostle Paul understood where all of the comfort that he needed was going to come from. Now, he by far had experienced tribulation. He'd experienced the hard things and the afflictions, and he did so for the name of Jesus Christ. I can't even raise my head when talking about him as I think about what he endured for the cause and for the name of Christ. But here's what I do know, that every hard thing that he endured, every stoning, every time they were seeking to kill him, every time they left him for dead, every time that he was beaten, shipwrecked, hungry or cold, here's what I can tell you, what Paul said was, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he attributed unto God as him being the means of all comfort. Amen. You say, preacher, I ain't got God today. I'll tell you right now, you ain't got much comfort then. You're laying your head on your pillow and you're going to sleep a weeping many nights and you're wondering which way it's going to end and whether or not you're going to, hey, you don't have to live that way. I'm trying to introduce you to the God of all comfort. Oh, he brought comfort to my soul one day. I'll tell you, the most desperate I've ever been was the day I got lost. The day I got, you remember it, Lenny? The day you got lost? Yeah. I was the most desperate, I was the most scared I think I've ever been in my life. I remember just as a 9-year-old boy trembling. I remember the tears flowing down my eyes. I remember the turmoil in my heart. And my heart felt like it was going to beat out of my chest. And I recognized in that moment I was lost without God. And I was going to die and go to hell if I didn't believe. And brother, right then I started finding out who the God of all comfort was. The same one that was able to convict me of my sin was able to also save me from it. I got some comfort that day. And hey, I'd like to report to you. I'm 58 years old now, and he's been a comfort all of my life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Amen. The God of all comfort. Well, Paul said in verse number 4, notice here in verse number 4, you'll find a version of the form comfort 4 different times. So that's a little excessive on the apostle's part. Surely he could have summed it up. Well, he summed it up in verse number 3 when he said the God of all comfort. But I kind of like how he expounded just a little bit more as he expressed to you and I concerning this simple truth called comfort. Here's what he said in verse number 4. Who comfort us, still talking about God, who comfort us in all our tribulation. Let me say right there, brother, you ain't going through anything that God can't help you with. Amen. You'll never enter into anything he can't lead you out of. You'll never experience anything that he's not able to comfort you in. There'll never be a heartbreak. Amen. I think about some of you folks. Amen. You've experienced the loss of a spouse. Amen. That'll come if I live long enough, or maybe my wife will experience it. But I can tell you this much. There are days of sorrow in this world that the world don't have an answer for. Amen. But I'll tell you right now, God can give you comfort in your darkest hour. He said, he's the God who gives me comfort in all our tribulation. The apostle was an expert concerning tribulation. He understood just exactly what that meant. And oh, he had got to the place in his life that he was able to say that tribulation worketh patience. And patience experience. How Penny would go on to say, but experience works hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, and it's shed abroad in my heart. I'm telling you right now, friend, I've experienced what it's like for the comfort of God to step in to the situation that was dark and bleak and see God deliver in the darkest of hours. You say, preacher, I need some comfort. Let me tell you, you'll have to go to the God of all comfort to get it. Well, I'll find it in a bottle. No, you won't. No, the dope and the alcohol of this world won't do nothing but numb your senses. And brother, your senses are probably telling you to go to God anyhow. There may be something inside of you that's longing to have something that's real. Amen. How you remember what it was like to be lost and to come into the house of God and the saints of God to be a shouting. Somebody be experiencing the freedom of the Holy Ghost and you sitting back there having no idea what it was like to, hey, you don't have to live that way. He's the God of all comfort today. Amen. In God's comfort storehouse, I'm telling you right now, it's still full. He don't ever exhaust all the comfort that could be given. Well, there are situations, and there ain't no way to go through all this, but there are times in your life when it's simply unexplainable, the comfort that God brings. So, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm getting there. Hang on with me. Because I want you to know Jesus before you leave this place this morning. I want it to be so contagious that somebody says, oh, if I just had God.
Yeah. Right.
But when you get to the end of yourself and you recognize that everything you've done and everything you've been and all of those things that you've tried to find comfort in, that young man that left his father and run off and spent all of his sustenance in righteous living and found himself broke and starving to death at the hand of an unmerciful enemy, the devil. Brother, let me tell you something. When he come to himself, you know what he's thinking about, Greg? He's thinking a little comfort. He said, if I could just go home. He said, my father's servants have plenty to eat. Oh, that's a comfort, ain't it? My father's servants lay down in a bed. My father's servants have got some protection. My father's servants know what it's like to live in comfort. I want to go back home. That's where the comfort's at. Hey, we're living in a world today that people are comfortless. Here Paul said, who comforted us, comforteth us in all our tribulations. He said, and he does that so that we might comfort others. All right, I'll get there in here in a minute. I've got a list of those, and I'm going to go through them quick, so take heart. But here's what you can know. There is comfort in God today. Amen. That's good news for some folks, just to recognize that he knows what you're going through. Amen. He's not a high priest that is somehow exempt from what you've experienced. No, my great high priest, who Jesus, the Son of God, that sits on the right hand of the Father, brother, he's experienced, he's endured all the sorrow and the suffering that can be endured as a human on this earth. And brother, he is a high priest, understands what you need today. And brother, he'll comfort you if you'll let him. If you'll let him. Well, God is the source of all comfort. But may I say to you today that he enacts or employs his comfort through many different means. And I want to look at some of those this morning. The source of all comfort is God. But brother, he sends that comfort through many a different conduit. And first and foremost has to be Jesus Christ. I thought about this when I was trying to get this in my heart. When you think of comfort, his name comes to my mind. You ever have a name come to your mind, right? You just see it in your mind. When I think of comfort, that's really the only thing I can think about is Jesus. But I remember a lady who was desperate and destitute without any hope. The Bible said she'd spent everything she had on doctors. Amen. She didn't have nothing else to give. But then somebody told her that Jesus was coming. Somebody let her know that he's coming through this way. I'll tell you right now, I'd like to be a little bit of help to you. I'd like to help you today and say that Jesus is in the house and he's able to help you. You say, preacher, that's a comfort to me. I'm glad. And I believe as a man of God, that's all I can do is try to comfort you and lead you to the place where you're going to find what you need. Brother, it wasn't them good people telling her about Jesus coming that gave her the comfort. What gave her the comfort was that she believed he was coming. Yes. Comfort. Jesus is the conduit of comfort. The Bible said when Jesus come through, you know the story. The Bible said that the little lady had made up her mind. She had believed in her heart. And she said, I believe that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I believe, she said, I'll be made whole. And here comes Jesus. You say, Jesus didn't know she was there. Oh, he knew. He knew. Amen. He went by her. And the Bible said she stuck that little weak arm through there somehow. She pressed through the crowd to get just close enough. And when Jesus came through, she just touched the hem of his garment. And the Bible said immediately she got healed. Immediately she was made whole. And there she said, I believe weeping, experiencing the comfort of the Holy God. Experiencing finally some comfort in her heart. Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? And they said, Lord, the crowd throngs you. He said, how can you say who touched me? He said, somebody touched me. He said, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. Amen. And the Bible said he turned and he looked at her. He knows who it was. He knows who you are. Amen. You may be here today and you may be at your last mile. You may not think I can't live not one more day. Brother, you may not be able to live like that. I'm trying to help you live a different way today. Brother, introduce you to the God of all comfort. Glory. When she said, as she looked at him and the Bible said she told him all that had happened. I love what he said to her. He said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made you whole. You need some good comfort. I'm trying to introduce you to the one that knows good comfort. Amen. Your situation today may be helpless. Your situation, there may not be any answer for it here. And you may think to yourself, my life ain't worth living. I'm telling you right now, what you really need is a visit with the God of all comfort. Brother, through the Lord Jesus Christ, he can bring comfort into your comfortless life. Amen. Well, I can't not preach on this one. The Bible told us about a man that was blind. And when he heard Jesus passing by, he went to hollering. He cried, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Oh, he just was hollering as loud as he could. The Bible said some around him said, hush, hush. Don't bother the master. Be quiet. I'm telling you right now, the devil keeps telling you to hush. Let me tell you something. Keep hollering. Yeah. Amen. When you know the God of all comfort's near, just keep hollering his name. Just keep calling on Jesus, thou son of David. Have mercy. Hey, here's what I'm going to tell you will happen. You're fixing to get a visit. Amen. The Bible said Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped. And the Bible said he told somebody, he said, go get him. And they run over there, old Bartimaeus sitting there. He blind as a bat, didn't have no idea what was going on. All he knew was somewhere, Jesus is close by. Somewhere, the comfort I'm looking for, the man that I'm seeking, he's near somewhere. And they finally caught him. I believe they put their hands on him and said, hey, the master said, come to him. The master calleth for you. Bible said, Old Bartimaeus, he stood up. He throwed off that old rag he had on him. And they led him to Jesus. And the Bible said that Jesus, he healed old Bartimaeus of his blindness that day. And he told him that day, Jesus told him, he said, be of good comfort. Your faith has made you whole. Some of you need a dose of good comfort. Amen. Good comfort. I've got a God today that deals in comfort. I've got an enemy that deals in destruction and chaos and peril and hopelessness. Yep. And if you're running around with him, that's exactly where you are today, in the darkness of your mind. And brother, you'll convince yourself life ain't worth living. We see it happen way too often. Life ain't worth living. You don't know the God of comfort is the problem. But I'll tell you right now, on your worst day, comfort will rescue you. Comfort will rescue you. Jesus is a conduit of the comfort of God. But not only, he ain't working alone. Yeah. Amen. He ain't working alone. He told his disciples, he said in John 14, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. You know, every morning them disciples, they walked with him for 3.5 years. Every morning they woke up and they seen him. They said, he's still here. That's a comfort. But he told him one day, he said, I'm leaving. And he said, it's expedient for you that I go away. He said, for if I don't go away, he said, the comforter. Who? He said, the comforter. Who? He said, the comforter will not come if I don't go. He said, but I'll tell you this. When I leave, he said, I'll send him. I'm going to send him. Who? The comforter. He said, I'm going to send the comforter. And he will lead you and guide you in all truth and righteousness and will tell you everything I've said to you. He'll bring it back to your remembrance. What Jesus said to the disciples were, is somebody coming? The comforter. Well, he's a God of all comfort. That didn't shock none of us, did it, that he called him the comforter? How come he's a God of all comfort? Might as well call the Holy Ghost comfort. Amen. That's what your Bible said. That's what your Bible said. Read your Bible. The Bible said that Jesus said the comforter will come, which is the Holy Ghost. Five words confirming, friend, that what I got that day in 1976 when I surrendered to Christ and he saved my soul, the comforter came in. You say, preacher, have you ever lived a day without comfort? No, sir, not since 1976. How do you know? Because the comforter lives in me. Comfort. Some of you don't have any because you lost. You've never received the Holy Spirit of God. You've never been born again. But if you get born again, friend, that's the first thing you get as a child of God through simple faith, is the Holy Spirit comes and indwells you. So what I'm saying is on those days when instead of looking up, you're looking down, you have just forgotten you're full of comfort. Yeah. Yeah. And the Holy Ghost pet that little dog sometimes when he say, you're all right.
Yep.
I ain't going nowhere.
Yep.
I'm right here. Jesus said, Paul, he said, I will not leave you comfort. Thank you. I don't know about you. That's good news. Jesus said, I ain't going to leave you comfortless.
Yeah.
How come? He said, because I know you need a lot of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you ain't going to be able to do this on your own. You need some comfort. He gave me such a dose of comfort. Amen. That it was in the person of the Holy Ghost. Set up a abode in my heart and said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you.
Yep.
You know what that means? It means comfort will never leave me nor forsake me. Now, I'm going to be careful how I say this. There's some people that go around and all they want to talk about, oh, woe is me. Oh, how bad I've got it. First question, Are you comfortless? That's what I want to know. Have you been born again? If you ain't, you're comfortless. And yes, woe is you. But I've got good news. You don't have to stay that way. But to the rest of you that have been born again, you need to get right with God. You ain't comfortless today. Ain't no wonder the world don't want what you got. You act like it's the worst thing you ever had. Amen to God. People ought to look at you and say, I wish I had some of that. That's comfort. That's peace. That's hope. That's joy. Or as Billy Kelly said, real joy. Real joy. Comfort. I got the greatest form of comfort that can be. The third part of the Godhead, whom Jesus Christ named the Comforter, He lives in me. Oh, Lord, I don't know if he can be ashamed of me, but if he can, he probably has. He's probably looked at me and said, I ain't going nowhere. Did you know my name is Comforter? Oh, you've had your head in that poor little cloud where you just can't. Ain't nothing going to work out for me. If you'd get over yourself just long enough to recognize there's somebody bigger in you, you'd get some help today.
Amen.
Because the Comforter, well, He lives in you. He lives in you. Do you know that the Holy Spirit comforts the churches? Acts 9:31 said He did. It said, and the Holy Ghost comforted the churches, and they were multiplied. The Holy Ghost comforts the church. I believe a lot of times when we come in here, Dustin, we're just out of mind. I mean, we got ourselves all in a scramble. But we just go back. Amen. Lord, help the poor souls that say, I just ain't going to go back. Lord, help you. I'm telling you right now, I just need to go back. Hey, sometimes I roll in here and feel like a red worm just squished. I mean, just flat. Ain't got nothing. You say, what happens? Well, the Comforter shows up. He'll pop us back up like Feisty Frosty. I mean, right back up there. Hey, where'd he come from? He's always been there. Need some comfort? He's in there. Jesus said He's the comfort. He's Comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. He said, when I go away, He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. Amen, amen. Somebody needs that today.
Amen.
Well, Jesus is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is sure enough the Comforter. But I'll tell you something else that's a comfort. Amen. Anybody got your Bible with you today?
Amen.
Amen. Here's some simple advice from an old country boy. Keep it with you. Amen. I may not have American Express or whatever that card is, but I don't leave home without this one. Amen. Everything you need, brother, it's right in this book, and I have found it to be comfort for me every day. Every day. Listen to what your Bible said. The Bible said, listen to what it says. The Bible said in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You say, preacher, are you saying to me that that book you have is comfort? Well, not only am I saying it, but I heard somebody else say amen to that. Consenting that there has likely been a time in your life that this book has been the source of comfort that you didn't have before. Well, I'm going to go back, and I thought of this, Brother Terry. I thought of this when he got up this morning and shared Isaiah 41:10. You're talking about comfort. Amen. If Isaiah 41:10 has ever comforted you, raise your hand. Amen. I'm going to read it again. I opened it up and marked it again. Here's what he said. He said, "Fear thou not, for I am thy God. I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Brother, that was a comfort to me. I've told this. I shared it again in Sunday school. Brother Terry shared it up here this morning. But I'll tell you, I remember that night when I was laying in that hotel bed in Charlotte. I'd fasted all day. I'd pray. I hadn't gone out of the room. I didn't have no meetings that day, so I just hunkered down in there in the Word of God, trying to find God. And I remember I had no relief, and I remember a tear rolling down my face as I closed my eyes, and I said, "God, I said, are you going to help me?" It's the last thing I remember. Till about 5 in the morning, from Rome, Italy, came a text from Victor, and with that come a scripture. And I heard my phone make that racket. And I reached over there and grabbed that phone. And my first conscious thought, as my eyes focused and I looked at that phone, it said Isaiah 41:10. It said, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Yea," he said, "I will help thee." Amen. Now remember, that's the last thing I asked him before I closed my eyes. And the first thing I saw when I picked that up was, "Yea, I will help you." God answered me. Amen. Say, how'd he answer you, preacher? Through that book you're holding. Through his word. There is comfort of the scriptures. There's comfort in the scriptures. Meaning what? Meaning the same thing that I started out with. The word comfort is both a noun and a verb. Not only what I read to you in Romans 15:4 was he said that we have patience and comfort of the scriptures, meaning that the scriptures actually actively comforts you. It has a working power in the believer to comfort you. That's the verb part. That's the action part. You say, where's the noun part? When you can hold it. When you can love it more than anything else in this world. You say, what you got, preacher? Comfort. Tangible. Readable. Real. A noun. Maybe say I picked a bad day not to bring my Bible, didn't I? I'm just saying, not only is it active, not only do you have comfort of the scriptures, but I got comfort in them. It's a verb and a noun. He's the God of all comfort, and he's given us this comfort. Well, we'll close with this. Sister Tanya, I'm going to ask you to sing us a song of invitation. I'm going to give an invitation today. I want to share this. Let me read this scripture to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification." Listen. "And exhortation and comfort." You say, what is he saying? Well, what he said was, is he said, the preacher, I'm using what he said was, "But he that prophesieth," if you look up, that'll clearly tell you in the Greek what it means. It's the preacher. It's the man declaring the word of God. "For he that prophesieth speaketh unto men edification and exhortation and comfort." Do you know you can get comfort from the word of God through the man of God? I mean, truth is, most of you would have come today and left, but if I hadn't preached on comfort, you wouldn't give it another thought. But some of you, I hope, have got some comfort from the Word.
and from the preaching of the word. Well, lastly, you can be a comfort. The people of God can comfort one another. I read that simple scripture at the death of Lazarus, where the Bible said when they showed up there that a great deal of the city folk had showed up at Lazarus' house, and it said specifically to comfort Mary and Martha. That's why they showed up. They wanted to help. And I believe the people of God can be a comfort to one another. Both in the active sense, as a verb, we can be comforting to other people. But there's another sense. The people of God are simply a comfort to me. Not necessarily in the active sense, but in the tangible sense. That just being in the house of God with you gives some comfort. Just being among the people of God gives some comfort. And I believe that's the way it's supposed to be. How come? Because he's the God of all comfort. Some of you need some comfort today. Some of you need to find what you're looking for somewhere besides this world. In this world, he said, you shall have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What do you think he overcome the world with? Through Jesus Christ. Jesus is your comfort. Amen. What you're looking for today is in Christ. And I don't know your heart, but here's what I know. If you reject Christ, you're going to miss it. Say, preacher, I don't know if I can go and pray. Let me tell you something. I was 9 years old when I did it. 9-year-old can do it. Surely you can. All I knew that day is I had to bow. I had to call on him because I just got lost and I needed to be saved. And if that's you today, you just need to call on the God of all comfort. What you're missing today is Jesus.